broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our worship service today. It's good to be with you. Special thanks to those who helped yesterday. There was a lot of cleaning and painting and priming that went on. You'll notice there's a little green trim outside. There's the education wing lower floor. Looks a little brighter. You're welcome to sneak back. Get a preview of the sacristy. We're going to have an open house at some point, but there's still final touches to be done, but it's looking nice. So thank you all for helping. Thanks for those who brought donuts. There's lots of donuts. We'll have some left over today. So thank you. I'm going to read the hymns as I like to do, especially for those listening on the radio, but also suggestion in this doesn't apply to most of you because you're all veterans and know our church well, but keep this in mind when we have visitors, you know, somebody who you don't recognize and they may need a little assistance getting familiar with how we do our service. We have these bookmarks, which are great for finding ahead of time the hymns, you know. Feel free to mark those ahead of time and you could tell our visitors, like, hey, here's a little suggestion or whatever you think makes sense. And also we'll try to make it easier. We're going to start putting the propers on yellow paper, something to distinguish it, so you know you can get that out ahead of time, and I'll make sure that our visitors, and I'm glancing, I don't see any new faces. If I'm missing somebody, you know, let me know. But pull that out, and then you'll be ready, because we sing the intro, we sing the gradual, and so those will be readily available. So those hymns, well, we'll be following Divine Service Setting 4, beginning on page 203, so you can mark that. And then the opening hymn, 390, Let Us All With Gladsome Voice. Hymn of the Day, 564, Christ Sits at God's Right Hand. During distribution, we'll sing 750, If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee. 820, My Soul, Now Praise Your Maker. 571, God Loved the World, So That He Gave. The closing hymn, 738, Lord of All Hopefulness. The only other announcement is that we will not have a Board of Education meeting Tuesday, unless somebody has any business that they want, but that was just kind of decided. We had a little quorum at our work day yesterday, so he said, no, we don't have anything. So, all right. Let's begin now with our opening hymn, number 390, Let Us All With Gladsome Voice.
Thank you.
please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God, our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Oh boy, I should follow my own advice. You're not on Divine Service Setting 5, I guess. All right, forgive me, O Lord. All right. Well, let us take a time in silence to reflect on God's Word and for self-examination. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children, and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Together we sing the intro.
Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, during his earthly ministry, your Son Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead. By the healing medicine of the word and sacraments, pour into our hearts such love toward you that we may live eternally. Through the same, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading is from Lamentations chapter 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes. Let him be filled with insults, for the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love, for he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing together the gradual printed on the insert. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge, in all earnestness and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need and there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. It was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talithi kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten as a Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated for our hymn. and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. God gives us, his children, a language to use when we're struggling, when we're suffering, hurting. It's a language to speak honestly to him from the heart. When we're experiencing things that, at least from our perspective, they don't line up with God's promises. And when things don't make sense and you're deeply saddened, you're angry, it's a language, the language of lament. Lament is a cry of faith. It's a Christian crying out to God with this brutal honesty when what you experience is it's not what God promised and you don't know why. And it's demanding an answer from God based on his word, based on his promises. And God loves to hear this language. That's why he's given us this language of lament. He does not want us to suffer in silence. That is not a virtue. We're not to spew with rage out of a self-righteousness. That is not a virtue. When we suffer, nor are we to despair, to just spiral down without any hope. There is a lot of suffering in the world. We experience it every day. Certainly observe it, but we feel it. So we need this godly inspired language of lament, and so God gives it to us. And there are laments throughout Scripture. Lament is the language of the faithful. Jesus, for example, laments Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones that were sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. The prophets lament. The Psalms, most of them are Psalms of lament. The church throughout history has had this need to lament. And the Book of Lamentations, likely written by the prophet Jeremiah, it's essentially five poems of lament. And we only heard one part of one of them in today's reading. And it's the center of this book. And the ones that are chosen for today's reading, these are words of hope. But they're at the center of Jeremiah giving voice to his struggles and his suffering. And well, he's at his wit's end. Jeremiah, God's chosen people, they've been carried off by the Babylonians. They're in exile now in Babylon. They were defeated. Jerusalem had been laid siege to. The land that God had promised to them was taken away. And it's because they were disobedient to God. God was just to take it away. They're suffering for what they deserved. They're forced to live in a foreign land, far from what they knew, far from home, far from Jerusalem, God's holy city where the temple was. What were they to do? What could they do? They really had blown it over and over and over again, and they're suffering the consequences they deserved. Jeremiah, God's prophet, he'd been overwhelmed. He was crushed. He's a laughing stock, cursed by the people. He talks about unceasing pain. You read his book, you get to hear it from him. He was called to be a prophet to bring God's people to repentance, and it wasn't working. He failed. So his preaching had made him an outcast, and he was powerless, and he's deeply saddened. And he remains faithful to the Lord, and he speaks honestly before God. And why not? God knows his heart. God knows our hearts. Jeremiah, he recalls the promises of the Lord.
This is his only resource. This is all he has, the promises of God. And his hope was that God's people would survive because of God's love for them, not because of them. But the love of God had been demonstrated over and over again. Jeremiah's hope was in the promises of God, who is faithful to his word. Jeremiah could recall that the Lord had promised to separate his people from the other nations, that the Lord had called his people to be his very own and to belong to him, that the Lord had made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that the Lord had rescued his people from Egypt, that the Lord had preserved his people for those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And though God's people had not been faithful, God had been. God is faithful. And so at the center of this lament, Jeremiah says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The hope is in the Lord. And that's all we need. We experience and observe many things going wrong in the world around us. What is it that you lament? We see corruption at all levels around the world and amongst the powerful, politically, and business, society at large. We see, we hear, we feel hostility of groups at odds with one another. Doesn't seem to be any hope for peace or common ground. We feel the breakdown of the moral fabric of our society. People don't know God. They don't know God's will. They're not following it. They don't know his design for creation. Is this breakdown of God, is it pleasing to him? Is it pleasing to you? You see it in the people around you. You experience in yourself. You know your own failures. You keep turning away, running after things in the world that pull you from the Lord. Worldly pleasures, favor among people rather than God, and so you suffer the consequences for your own inclination to run after those and to turn from God. Things aren't right and we're suffering and we know it and life is hard. So what do we do? Do we suffer in silence? No, that doesn't please the Lord. Do we bemoan how bad things are and kind of spiral down in this negative outlook without any hope? Just accept things are bad. Do we spew out in self-righteous rage? Do we try to ignore the bad and act like it doesn't bother us? Act like it's okay? Act like we're not really hurting and frustrated and scared and angry? Or do we learn the language of lament and speak to God a lament? There are three things to know about lament if you want to learn the language. Lament is speaking honestly. God already knows your heart, so speak honestly to him from your heart. Tell him how hard it is. Tell him how bad it is. Tell him how sorry you are for what you've contributed to what you're suffering. You don't have to pretend. We do this when we make our confession. He hears it. Our honest confession. How bad things are, how hard it is, how bad we are. The second
think about lament is it's speaking hopefully. God, we know that you're good. We know your steadfast love. We recall to God his promises. It is a language of faith. And we believe it, even when we don't see it. We speak promises that he's given us, promises to live by, promises he gave you in your baptism, promises that you are his, he's chosen you, he's redeemed you through the blood of Christ, washed you clean, made you new. He's given you this life eternal with him forever. Promise he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Promises an eternity in his heaven. He promises you peace, even in the midst of uncertainty, joy and suffering. Promises that we live by because he's assured us by fulfilling them on the cross for you, his dying for you, his love for you, demonstrated, expressed, and coming to you still. Promises he gives you when he comes to you in body and blood. Broken for you, shed for you. My peace I give to you. We live by these promises in the midst of things that are hard. The third aspect of lament is that it's helpful. And we speak the language together. This language is for us together. In our gospel, we have Jairus. He had a lament. His little daughter was dying. What else could he do? Who else could he go to? He went to Jesus. He spoke to Jesus. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live. And this desperation had brought him out in public. This open lament. And it helped the people around him, and it helps us still today. The woman who had the discharge of blood for 12 years, she had spent everything. She was getting worse. What else can she do? She's suffering. But she has a hope, one final hope. I heard about this, Jesus. All I have to do is touch the hem, I'll be well. Such a strong faith. In great humility, she comes up behind, hoping that nobody notices. And she's made well, as she believed. Jesus wants everybody in her to know it's a faith in him that made her well. He wants her hope grounded in him and what he has done for the world, his giving his life and into death for her and for all of us. And so he commends her in front of everybody. Her faith has made her well. He gives her peace. We benefit from this. Praying the Psalms is a great way to learn the language of lament. They're not all lament, but many are. Most include language of lament. I'd like to do this now. We have many of the Psalms in our hymnal. They're in the front. I invite you now to turn to Psalm 6. This is just one of many. And we get to say this together and take the words to heart and speak them honestly from our heart to God and to hold God to his promises. So we'll do it half verse by half verse. I'll speak the first half and ask you to respond with the second half of each verse. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. My soul also is greatly troubled. Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. in death, there is no remembrance of you. I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. The Lord has heard my plea. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Pray the Psalms daily. Pray them in the morning, pray them in the evening. Take them to heart. These are God's words for you, his prayers for you to speak to him and hold them precious. Prayers that Christ himself prayed and sanctified through such. In this lament, the Lamentations, near the end, Jeremiah says, for the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, right? God is responsible. He will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. He does it out of necessity, out of love, to benefit us. His desire is to pour out his love for you, the love that you have, the love that you have promised to you, demonstrated, given to you through Christ, his Son given for you because of his great love. So when you suffer, as you experience the afflictions, your afflictions, as you grieve, as you hurt, speak to God from the heart with hope and speak it in front of others to help them too. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I invite you to stand as we join together in the prayer of the church. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, from whom our help comes, you have brought us into your holy Christian church and made Christ our shield from every enemy. Preserve us in such faith until at last you bring us out of this world in the resurrection forevermore. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Holy Father, you have shown to your church the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who for our sakes became poor, that by his poverty we might become rich. Give us generous hearts that our abundance may supply our fellow saints in their need. Let our preachers serve for the sake of Christ's call, not for earthly gain. And let those who have received excellence in faith, speech, knowledge, and every other gift of God's word provide richly for the preaching of the gospel and the work of the church. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, your compassion does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men, but your mercies are new every morning. Bestow your steadfast love on every Christian home. Turn parents in kindness to their children. Make children ready in obedience and love toward their parents and each other. Let the young learn discipline and trust in you. And let fathers not exasperate their children, but be devoted to the fear and instruction of the Lord as examples to them. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you did not turn aside the bold request of Jairus, nor the timid faith of the woman. We implore you, hear our prayers for those in need. Drive away our fears and give us believing faith. Give healing and strength to the sick and suffering, especially Jeff, Dan, Ben, Lois, Joanne, Mark, Lewis, Arlene, Marlis, Tim, Missy, Lacey, Marlene, Doris, Arlene, Michael, Carol, Mark, Alexis, Nancy, Jesse, Sarah, Kara, Marlis, Erno, and Ben. Give comfort to those who mourn, especially the family of Ruth Meyer, in the knowledge that Christ has destroyed death, and all who die in him are only sleeping until you awaken them at the last day. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son used his divine powers as a man on earth to heal and save. We thank you that he continues to use his divine powers as a man, bodily present in the Holy Sacrament, to deliver his healing and saving power to faith. Grant that we may worthily seek this medicine of immortality in the Lord's Supper, believing his promises and receiving them now and in eternity. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands, for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may be seated as the offering is gathered. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of heaven and earth, and full of thy name, so the glory of your name.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.